Amen. Power has in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for this privilege, knowing that we may not have so many more. Father, we do believe that your presence has been with us, Lord, since at least 33. And Father, you're getting ready to wrap up the shout, moving it into the voice of the resurrection. Help us, O God, to be ever walking with you each day. As you are walking in the light, may we be walking with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we're going to continue with our mini-series on righteousness and unrighteousness. And we're within the Satan's Eden series, 21 in our series, part 3 in the mini-series. This morning I want to focus on vindicated truth. Now, as we examined last week, Malachi 3 speaks in one group, returning to the Word and discerning between righteousness and wickedness, which righteousness is right wiseness, and wickedness, of course, is an unright wiseness. And the other people return to his vomit and pollution. In Malachi 3:16, it says, Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and pricked up his ears, became suddenly attentive, and he heard. He discerned and understood what they were saying, and a book of remembrance was written before him or in his presence for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. And notice that's adoption language that Paul is, or that Malachi is speaking there. From the Amplified Version, verse 16, then those who feared the Lord with awe-filled reverence spoke one to another. You know, the problem is, in Christianity today, you know, let's just blanket it, the whole world, there's 1.5 billion so-called Christians. How many of them really have a reverential fear of God as the Mohammedans have of their Allah? How many so-called Christians today really walk everything they say, everything they do is in respect that God is watching and God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart? Or do we just go about our lives and throw out words and this and that? Then those who feared the Lord with awe-filled reverence spoke to one another, and the Lord paid attention and he heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who fear the Lord with an attitude of reverence and respect, and who esteem his name. They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on that day when I publicly recognize them and openly declare them to be my own possession, that is, my very special treasure, my adopted sons, and I will have compassion on them and spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then shall you return and discern between righteousness and wickedness, between him that serves God and him that serves him not. Now listen, this speaks of adopted sons, and all others shall perish. But the adopted sons shall be saved from the judgments that are to come, because the others have turned down God. They spurned his mercy, which came via his message, and they chose judgment by doing so. And so God has given them a strong delusion, and we see the whole world is in a great delusion at this time. Now, eternal security is absolutely the word of God, in the Word of God Almighty for those that are born again. And these other people who turned down the Word of God for the season were never born again. Therefore, they were never sons. And notice that those people will not return to the Word, but they have to return to something. So they will return to what they came out of before the Word was preached to them. So they will go right back to where they were, and the Bible says that they will return to their vomit. What about those treated as sons? How were they born? They were born by the revealed Word of God, so therefore these others weren't. They were born of creeds and dogmas, yet as anointed ones at the end time, they may see miracles and supernatural manifestations of the Holy Ghost, no different than the children of Israel saw the acts of God, but they never understood his ways as Moses did. In Psalm 103, verse 7, we read, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. So Moses understood what was going on. The others just saw the miracles of God and said, hey, glory, hallelujah. You know, the rain fell on the just and the unjust, and they both raised up their hands and praised God for it. See, notice what happened to those who saw the acts of God but never understood his ways. They perished in the wilderness. So what good did it do to see the acts of God? Oh, I was there, brother, sister. I was there when Brother Bram did this, and he did this, and this, and this. And have no clue what the message is. I was there when Moses, you know, when he threw the stones down and it opened up a fire, an earthquake, it swallowed up the Ethan Core. I saw all of that. And then they perished in the wilderness. What good did it do? What good is this message doing the 2.5 million people in the world that claim to believe it if they don't make the rapture? So it matters not whether you were alive to see God in action when Moses in Moses' day or in William Branham's day. What matters is whether you understand what God is doing in his season or not. For we are at the end time, and both groups must return. But return to what is the question? Only those who are righteous or rightly wise, who understand the ways of God, will return to the word which is brought by the end time prophet of Malachi 4, and all others will return to something. So they will return to their own righteousness, which is as filthy rags in God's eyes, and their own righteousness is referred to as a dog to its vomit and a hog to its filth. Therefore, if they do not return to the word, they will return to something. Most people come to church for one reason: worship. And you find many more of the children of the harlot than she which has a husband. Lucifer led in the worship. It's a religious thing. And that's why people have religion. But they don't want the Word of God. Very, very few. We're talking about only those who had enough fear to talk one to another about the great things that God was doing. Only those people are going to make it. John 1:1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Ephesians 1:3 tells us, we were in Him before the foundations of the world. So we were a part of God back then as part of His thinking. Now it says of that other group that their end is going to be worse than their beginning. He said, what? You think that you escape? You can't imagine the bondage you've actually placed yourselves in. Let's go back to Malachi. Except those who speak this certain way and fear the name, except by revelation, it says all of you are going to be destroyed. Wait until the tribulation hits them and they'll say, oh my God, what happened? Where did we miss it, see? Of course, there'll be some saying, well, we were told that we don't get caught up until after the tribulation. That's the majority of the Trinitarians. But now listen, the Bible says it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. 2 Peter 2:19 tells us, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. Now, what is this corruption they come under, that they come into bondage to? It's their own mind, their own thinking, their own doxa, and they prefer that than the very doxa of God, the vindicated revelation for the hour. 1 Peter 1:22 tells us, seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned, unpretentious love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory, the doxa of man, is as the flowers of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Notice, man's doxa, all the glory of man, the doxa of man, the thoughts, the opinions, the values of man, is as flowers and grass. The grass withereth, the flowers fall away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So the corruption that Peter speaks of in 2 Peter 2:19 is that they return to their own word, their own doxa, which is their own opinions, values, and judgment. That is a corruption that Peter is speaking of in 2 Peter 2:19, as he is the same Peter who wrote 1 Peter 1:22. Thus, the same Peter that wrote 1 Peter also wrote 2 Peter, and he told us in 1 Peter what that corruption is. And it is their own doxa. He called it corruptible seed, which is a word. But it's not God's word. It's a corruptible seed, and it must die. It must die, and it must decay. It is a corruptible word, but he calls God's word the opposite. He calls it the incorruptible word of God that endures forever. So man has his doxa, God has his doxa. God's doxa lives forever because it was in his thinking before the foundation of the world. Man's thinking changes daily with his whatever his activities are. So one endures forever because it cannot corrupt, for it is incorruptible, while the other decays because it is corruptible. And then after he tells us that they return to their own corruption or their own doxa, he says in verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Now, it is interesting that this speaks of those who are entangled again, first come to a certain knowledge, but then they fall away. That is perfectly Hebrews 6, where they have been made partakers of the once-for-all enlightenment, which is this end-time message, but then they fall away. Now you say, well, I'll just leave that. Hebrews 6 and 4 tells us, for it is impossible for those who were once-for-all enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers, that means companions of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come, the millennial power, having fallen away from that, it is impossible for them to ever renew themselves again unto repentance, change of the mind, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and they put to themselves an open shame. Then in verse 7, Paul tells us how they fall away. For the earth, which drinketh in the rain, now remember Deuteronomy 32, the rain is God's doctrine, that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. So he tells us here that the rain, or the doctrine, falls upon the just and the unjust, which are the wheat and the tares, but what it produces in each shows you what seed they were to begin with. You see, the word is the washing of water by the word. Brother Brown says, you know, you need the washing of water, you need the word constantly. Well, when the word constantly falls in the seed, see, before the seed is watered, you don't know if that seed is God's seed or Satan's seed, serpent's seed. You really don't know. You kind of look at some of the actions, it might give you a little bit of indication. But when the word really strikes, if it's the Son of God that was foolish and now he's been saved and he's filled with God's Spirit, he moves to the word. He can't depart from the word. He can't leave that word. It's everything to him. But if he's serpent's seed, he'll go... The word upon that serpent seed will cause it to even go into worse manifestations of its nature. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Notice, what is a thorn and briar? What are they? We're going to find that definition in just a minute. Notice that which bears thorns is rejected, and the thorns appear when the water leaves them, or they leave the water. Now, from his sermon, Go Wake Jesus, Brother Bram said, we find out the water supplies get low, and in my country where I live in Tucson, everything out there has a sticker on it. Everything you look at has got a sticker, and because it's so dry, now, if it was here in this country and could grow, it would have a real soft leaf. That sticker is a leaf rolled up so tight and so sharp, there's not an instrument could be ground like it. From planting the vine and where to plant, he said, everything in the desert has a sticker on it. Any little plant you come to, don't get near it. It'll stick you. It's always got its stickers right out, ready to stick anything that comes near it. And what's the matter? What made it a sticker is because it had no water. You see, when people got, they're sharp, you know, just sharp and just, you know, just, they got to call people names and they got to, you know, just call people down. That's a sticker. Now, it doesn't mean that it couldn't be a leaf if it had the Holy Ghost watering it. But somehow they shut off the Holy Ghost. They put them on a shelf someplace and they get barbs, you know, they get stickery. It's because it had no water. That's what dried it up. That sticker is a leaf rolled up. For the lack of water becomes a sticker. Thus is it with the church today. That when the church gets away from the fountain of life, when it gets away from the joys of salvation, when it gets away from the Lord, then that person becomes a sticker, always finding fault, sticking. Don't you? Me come up. I'm a Presbyterian. I'm a Methodist. I'm so-and-so. Don't talk to me about that stuff. A sticker has no fruits. You take the same plants, cactus, and put it in the land for a few generations, where there's plenty of water, and that sticker will unfold and will become a soft leaf bearing fruit. But as long as it's got a sticker, you won't find the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, and patience. Patience, sisters, patience. So we see the parallel between the wise virgin who had the oil and the foolish who had none. They had left their first love and they dried out. And dried out, they could not produce any fruit, as a thorn cannot produce fruit because of a lack of water. So Paul tells us about the thorny plant that cannot bear fruit. And then he says in verse 9, "But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, fruits, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and continue to minister. And we do, and we desire that every one of you do the same and show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through revelation and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." I'm getting back to 2 Peter 2 and 21. "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness," right wiseness, "than after they had known it, to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them." Again, it's Hebrews 6. Now, Peter and Paul both preach the same thing. As you may recall, last week we read from Romans 10, where Paul said it would have been better for them not to hear at all those who are false preachers, because then they would be hearing false doctrine. And if they're hearing false doctrine, then they would call upon a false Lord. You see? And here Peter tells us, it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn away from it. But then he tells us how it is that they do so. "But it, as it happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to its vomit again. And it turns again, then that means it returns to its vomit. And what is vomit? It's yesterday's food." So if it was yesterday's food, then they went a period of time, they enjoyed that yesterday's food, but then yesterday's food made them sick. Why would they return to something that made them sick to begin with? But you see dogs, they'll lap it up. I see pigs stand there and they'll lap it up. "And the sow that was washed returns to her wallowing in the mire. So they returned to yesterday's food, regurgitated up, and made ready to be eaten again." So it says, it were better that they didn't even know the difference between right and wrong. It were better that they hadn't had the chance to know. That's what he's really saying. To have known the difference between right and wrong. See? Far better than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. Now, how many times was the word delivered? Well, Moses' day, it was twice. Remember, he says, "Remember ye Moses, the law of Moses in Mount Horeb." Now remember, Moses came down with the word, and because the people were engaged in gross sin, unbelief, he broke that word to pieces and had to go up again to receive it again from God all over again, which is a type of the word ministry in the Alpha would be rejected, and God would have to bring it back again in the Omega. Then the second time the word of God comes, it will be restored, just like Moses brought down and restored 10 commandments. And remember, the first time it could fall, but the second time it can't fall because it's restored. See, if you got a bone that's broken and it mends right, it'll never break in the same place again. Why? Because there's a new growth around it. See, so it says their end is going to be worse than their beginning. He said, what you think that you escaped, you can't imagine the bondage you actually placed yourself back into. All right, so let's go back to Malachi 3 again. "Except those who speak this certain way and fear the name, except by revelation, it says all of you are going to be destroyed. Now wait until the tribulation hits them and they'll say, well, my God, what happened? Where did we miss it? See? Of course there's going to be some, well, you know what? It's supposed to be this way. We're supposed to go through the tribulation. And now listen, it can't get any better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. It had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. It were better that they didn't know the difference between right and wrong. It were better that they hadn't had the chance to know. That's what he's really saying. See? Far better than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. Now listen, but it has happened unto them according to the proverb, the dog returned to his vomit. All right. Now you notice here what we're reading. Notice the fifth verse again. Noah, a preacher of righteousness. Now, but Noah, not Noah the great doer, although he was a fine man and did the right thing as far as in building the ark, but he was a preaching. He was preaching it. And brother and sister, when you're preaching, he was teaching. He was bringing to the people the word of the hour that saved the eight of them, and everybody else perished outside of that word. The message, everybody perished, but those that came out by that word. And brothers and sisters, don't you see that? Lot sitting in the gate was no paragon of virtue. He was kind of outside the city. You know, when you're sitting in the gate, you know, you're kind of half in, half out, right? But he was a judge in that city. And what he saw vexed his righteous soul. And don't you see why Brother Branham talked the way he talked? Sure, it changed his life. But the character is not the great thing that's coming. It's the word, see? There's a difference. Those that wooed the revelation and were not fooled, for all but the very elect shall be, see? Notice how he puts it. Receive the reward of unrighteousness, see? Right down the line. Now let's just leave Peter for just a second. And let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 to 12. And then shall that wicked be revealed. Notice that wicked be revealed, see, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his parousia, even him whose parousia is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. See, but no word. They got the signs, they got the power, they got the lying wonders, the deceptions, but no word. See? So who was Satan anyway? He was the anointed cherub that covereth. What he was doing up there, he's doing today. This is Satan's Eden. Now, what's the anointing? With the Holy Ghost. Satan was anointed with the Holy Ghost as he stood guard over the Word and the worship of God. Just think of that. Brother Branham said, you could be anointed with the Holy Ghost every hour of your life and still go to hell. It's that Word that counts. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not my Word. See? Thou art the anointed cherub that covers, right? And he took and prostituted his own word in the worship of God, and God threw him out of heaven for that. And they're going to have the same thing repeat at the end time, a leadership in the worship of God, which God despises, because Satan is tripping them up and taking them to himself. And he's going to do it. How is he going to do it? He's going to do it using the very things of God that God laid down right here in the earth for a pure bride to have her hands on, and the rest of them are going to proclaim they got what the bride actually does have. They're going to claim they got it. They're going to claim the message. They claim the message. But do they have the word? They got the music. They got songs about the prophet, songs about the token, songs about this and that. But they don't have the word. Now listen, verse 10. And with all this deceivableness of unrighteousness, with all deceivableness of what? Of unright wiseness. And it's in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. And remember, Brother Brown said they couldn't get it done through religiosity or through the religious circle. He said so they had to cut it into pieces and shove it through the political, and that's where they get it done. So get your eyes off of the religious part and get your eyes on what they're doing, because in the politics, that's where Satan is getting it done. The same lie that was told Eve. He said, God will send him a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. The same lie told Eve, thou shalt not die. And how did the devil tell that lie to Eve? Using the same word God had given to her, but not rightly divided, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. They prefer error over truth. They prefer a wrong understanding to a right understanding. You say, well, what are we talking about? Well, let me just give you an example. To say what the government is doing and that you got to go along with what the government is doing because you got to render to Caesar what's Caesar's, you're not rightly dividing, because Jesus said, and unto God what is God's. Now, in Psalm 46, I think it is, it tells us that God wrote our names in his hand. We are God's. We don't belong to Caesar. When they handed Jesus the coin, they said, they say that we got to pay taxes. He said, let me see a coin. He said, okay, whose image is on that coin? This is Caesar's. He said, give back to Caesar what's his. And you pay your taxes. You do. You give back your the money things, that just give it back to him. But under God, you are God's. Don't give it to him. So every word that sounds so hard and so violent in 2 Peter is really a shadow of the substance which is spiritual and with spiritual connotations in these words. They are not physical. So when the eyes are full of adultery, it's not somebody running around looking at lascivious women. It's a lascivious men fornicating with church systems to see where they can benefit themselves and make themselves a name. And that's with the law. No wonder they don't know the name of God at this end time. They're so busy glorifying the names of Miss Baptist, Miss Presbyterian, Miss Oneness, Miss this and that. And they miss it all. Listen, they had pleasure in unrighteousness. They loved it. It was their joy. It was their spiritual exhilaration. Not some moth-eaten, blasphemous thing out there in the gutter, but in the church, the beautiful worship, they cried for error, and they were without revelation. Alas, Babylon, that mighty city, it was beautiful, it was lovely. The beast system has been aiming for this thing for centuries and generations, and now we've come to the place of the great love of the brethren and the church doing wonderful duties to bring righteousness upon earth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, it's all hogwash. You hear people out there, Trump's going to come back and we're going to have a revival and we're in the midst of the greatest revival. Hogwash. It's over. It is over. Next thing's resurrection. That's it. Bible says worse and getting worse. Going from worse to worse. You know, that stuff is an end-time delusion. And the Pentecostals who claim they got the Holy Ghost are just as much in it as those that don't claim any Holy Ghost. And they love it. They're prisoners in it. Their joy is in it. But ours is in the stimulation of the wine of revelation by the Holy Ghost of Almighty God. Amen. I don't know where the world is getting their pleasures, but mine comes from the revelation of the Word for the season in which we live. Not just, look, I want to be honest with you. Very, very honest. I always am. When I read some passages in the Old Testament that don't apply to us this hour because we had a prophet that didn't even talk about it. And I try to read those like so-and-so begat so-and-so and so-and-so begat so-and-so. I don't get stimulation of revelation. I'm sorry. But when I read the Word of God and I see the Word of God coming to pass, and I read those passages here in this Scripture and I see them coming to pass outside, I get stimulation and revelation. You understand? So there is a spiritual great deception at hand. Spiritually blinded people, they can't tell righteousness from unrighteousness. And in the church is where they fail to see who serves God and who serves Him not. And they'll end up worshiping the Antichrist just like the Bible says. Listen, you don't think people claiming to believe this message are going to worship Antichrist? I can tell you, there's many already that are worshiping Antichrist and don't even know it. I'm not preaching about any particular person. I'm telling you general things happen. So now comes the question. Where did all of this come from? See? Why must it end this way? See? Why must it end in the church worship system? Find people. Nobody's fussing at the people. It's a system, see, under the system. Now, what is it? What does it do? What brings it? 1 John 3, verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. See? He that doeth what is right is right. He that doeth right wiseness is rightly wise. Oh, bless God, don't tell me any man can deceive me. I can see. I know when a thing's right and when it's wrong. Glory to God. What do you think I am? Some kind of a stupid fellow? Yep. Yep. If you don't put this word first, and I'm not just talking about what you see in this written pages. I'm talking about what you see in this written pages, which is preached by a vindicated prophet. If you don't see the word for this hour, you don't see. Way back there, John warned about everything of this day. Little children, don't let anybody deceive you. What's to be deceived? I can tell you when a guy's really unrighteous and when he's righteous. John said, evidently you don't know what you think you know, or you take me seriously. How many read this and take it seriously? Nobody's serious. No fear grips the heart. When's the last time that you did something you knew was wrong and you fear gripped your heart? Come on. When's the last time you got in your face and just with tears repented before God for some stupid thing that you did or said? When is the last time? Have people become so calloused that there's no fear of God? So John says, evidently you don't know what you think you know. And you'd better take me seriously. Huh? Nobody's serious. No fear grips their heart. The only thing people get serious about and fear is what happens to their wallet. Say, did you hear that the stocks are going up or going down? Well, my stock went down. I'll lose a dollar. Please, Jesus, please, Jesus, please, Jesus, don't let my stock go down. Bunch of stupid hypocrites. Aren't they? Something's wrong somewhere. It's not God that's stupid, my brothers and sisters. It's not God. This book stood the test of time. It's not God who is stupid. Nothing wrong with him. It's what is wrong with us. See? You don't believe it? But we're ordained to it. I've got news for you. One day we're going to believe it when the squeeze does its job. And Brother Brown said it'll take the squeeze to get us to our knees. We are so Laodicean. The things mean stuff to us. So maybe God will just burn your house down so there is no things. Or the government will come and take it all away and confiscate it. And there won't be any things. Then what are you going to hold on to? You got one thing, that's the Word. That's the only thing you're taking with you is the Word. You say, what about my character? Well, if your character is formed by the Word, yeah, you'll take that with you. And if it's not, whatever you take with you, it's going to perish anyway in the lake of fire. Just like Sarah who stood at the tent door, that's the way the people are today. And God said, and you're going to have a child. And she said, ha, ha, ha. What a liar. By her saying, laughing, shows she didn't believe God. And if she didn't believe him, what's she calling him? A liar. And God said, why did Sarah laugh? And she said, I didn't laugh. He said, I didn't laugh. He said, don't call me a liar. You did laugh. She didn't tremble in his presence. And we didn't when God worked through his prophet, but we're going to now, see? So we need help to be serious. But we're going to be serious because the prophet said so, and he never lied, and he never fooled us, and it never ever failed. So one of these days we're going to get real serious, brother, sister. Now listen, he that doeth right wiseness is rightly wise. See? That's the Word. He that doeth rightly wise is rightly wise, or he that doeth right wiseness is rightly wise, even as Jesus is rightly wise. He that committeth sin or unbelief is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. He disbelieved from the beginning. So what beginning is he talking about here? Not the very beginning, because there was no iniquity at the very beginning, but before the earth was even created. See, we're not talking about Genesis 1 and 1. We're talking about before that. When Satan led in the worship, and iniquity filled his heart, and he got puffed up, and he took the people away from the Word. Oh, he gave them worship. He led in the worship, but without Word. And he used his own words in place of God's words. And he was that cherub that covereth. So what was he doing? He got puffed up in his own ministry and led the angels to himself instead of to worship God. Our brother Rand said, if you ever get off the mark, bring that bullet back. Don't get your lines crossed in times like these. That's what the angel told him in the vision. Remember, his lines got all tangled up. He said, don't get your lines tangled up. No, don't get your thinking wrong. Keep it right with the Word. And now listen, 8b. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy, that means bring to nothing, the works of the devil. And whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, does not initiate sin, for his seed, God's seed, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. He cannot sin because he's born of God. Notice right here it says, the reason a man doesn't sin is because he cannot sin. It says this man doesn't sin because he cannot sin. And it has to do with right wisers and unright wisers. It has to do with what Brother Branham says, you can't be deceived. Now watch. Verse 10. In this very thing, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, that whosoever doeth not right wisers is not of God. It tells you right there, if you are not of God, what you'll do. Neither he that loveth not his brother, for this is the message that we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's were righteous. Now, right here, we often read this wrong. See, the Bible says that Cain did an unrighteous thing, and it led him to kill his brother. See, it wasn't the killing that was the unrighteous thing, although that was a very bad thing. That was wrong. But what was that unrighteous thing that he did that led him to killing of his brother? Now, if we can find that out, we can find out this whole thing, what it's all about. If you have a wrong seed, brother, sister, you will produce a wrong result. A word is a seed, and a wrong word will produce a wrong spirit. It has to every time. Now, let's go back to the book of Genesis 4, just like Brother Branham taught us. And, all right, notice verse. And Abel was the keeper of the sheep, and Cain was the tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also he brought of the firstling of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and unto his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And because God did not respect Cain's offering, Cain got mad. In other words, what Cain did was unrighteous, unrightly wise. And notice now, and the Lord said to Cain, why are you wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Now listen, when I read this in the King James, according to what is translated from the so-called Hebrew, we're going to get a big mess. But I'll read it anyway. If thou doest well. Now, when I ask you how you're feeling, you say, I'm feeling well. Right? I'm well. So, in your mind is thinking in terms of health. He's not saying, if you're healthy. See, they shouldn't use that word. The word that should never have been used, but the right word should be, if thou doest what is right. And you cannot do what is right without being rightly wise. So it said, if thou doest what is right, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not what is right, then sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So Cain did not have right wiseness, and therefore his offering was not right. Why? We showed you last week that righteousness is of revelation, the Bible says. Now in the Septuagint, which Jesus used and Paul used and Peter used it, they used the translation from the Hebrew to the Greek by the 70 elders or scholars in Alexandria under Ptolemy. Now, what is the actual translation from the Septuagint? Here's what God said. Thou hast offered right, yet if thou hast not rightly divided, thou hast not sinned. Read again. Thou. Okay. Said God to Cain, thou hast offered right. Yet, if thou hast not rightly divided, even though you did the right thing, you're still in sin. Now, let's go to 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Study to show yourself approved, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, there's no shame if you rightly divide. But you have shame if you don't rightly divide. So there is no such thing as a workman who will not be ashamed unless he rightly divides the word. Now, did Cain offer right? What did he offer? He offered the first fruits. Is that right? It's right in the Bible. Yes. If it's in the Bible, then the offering was right. It was a Deuteronomy 26 first fruit offering. However, his division of the word was wrong because He should have given the blood first, then the first fruit resurrection offering. He misinterpreted the season, and therefore by offering of worship and service to God, it was not accepted. The act of worship was unrightly wise. The service was turned aside. Hebrews 11. By revelation, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Hebrews 11:4. So if Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain offered an excellent sacrifice, there's your answer. What do these boys do? They claim to worship God according to the Word of God, but only one was in the Word of God by revelation and according to the Word of God for the season. So he did a righteous thing by offering accordingly, but the other one, trying to please God, trying to serve God, trying to be right, tried to do right, without revelation of the season, his works were unrighteous. That's your Baptist. That's your Methodist. That's your Lutheran. That's your Catholic. That's all your denominational people, and that's many people in this message. Now, it says in your Bible, if you're a true child of God, you will never, ever be outside of the division of the Word. You will be approved, you will be accepted, because you cannot be deceived. So the deception comes via a wrong division of the Word. Cain was deceived. How? Like millions more, simply reading the Bible and believing their own interpretation, rather than to stand with what the Word of the hour absolutely brings forth in this day. How many people claiming to believe the message don't even know there's a shout, a voice of trumpet? Come on. How many people don't even know that the Lord descended with the shout, with the message? They think it's Brother Branham's message. It's not Brother Branham's message. The Lord descended with a shout. You see, they don't have a right division of the Word, because they don't have a word for the season. I've seen them come and go. They go because they will take their own understanding of the Word over one that has been vindicated to be true. And in order to do that, they are calling God a liar, because God vindicated what they believe was a wrong understanding. And listen, they call William Branham a liar. All right? Oh, he don't know what he's talking about. Well, listen, I'm going to tell you something. I'll put everything I've got in favor of what William Branham said versus what you think. Whenever they say something that just irks me about Brother Branham, I say, when did you get your vindication? That shuts them up right there. They have none. Now you notice right here, two acts by two men. One served God, the other served him not. And yet they're both doing the same thing. They both said that they did. And both tried. Both said, I'm serving God. But you know what? One's a liar. God says you're not. If you got word for another season and not the season you are in, then you are not in the Word. The Baptists can tell you all about Jesus 2,000 years ago, but they can't tell you what Jesus is doing right now, because they don't know Jesus. It's another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. Cain did sacrifice. Well, he said, I want you to know how right I am. God said, you're unrighteous, you're wrong. Your works are unrightly wise. Your works are unright wise. Your works are wrong. They are not rightly wise for the season. You can talk about all you want about the death and resurrection, the mediatorial and intercessory power of Jesus Christ, and be just as lost as Israel, who left Egypt with a blood sacrifice and a Holy Ghost revival and still perished. They walked in the light as he was in the light. They walked under that pillar of fire. They were baptized under the cloud. 40 years, and they perished, because the Word was not mixed with revelation in them that heard it. That's what the Bible tells us. Now Cain was a worker, a tiller of the soil, and Abel went by pure revelation. Abel divided the Word rightly, but Cain did not. Now, hear what the prophet of God said in a sermon, Spoken Words, Original Seed. He said, you can only serve God. Now, listen, how do you want to know if you're rightly wise? How do you want to know if you're actually serving God or serving the devil? You can only serve God as you do and believe the servants that God sends. You can only serve God on earth, see, as God's servants, that's sent on earth by divine inspiration, interprets the Word to you. You believe that? You want to put that down in the Scripture, 1 Corinthians 14:6. Paul said, you follow me as I follow Christ. Luke 10:16. See what Jesus said. Luke 10:16. Believe that we're right close to it here. Let's All right. Now, let's read. I'm getting Luke 10:16 here just a minute. He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despises you, despises me. And he that despises me, despises him that sent me. That proves that God speaks his message through his servants, always has, always will. So tell me, anyone can serve God outside of a vindicated revelation brought by a vindicated vessel of God's choosing? It cannot be done and then be accepted by God. They can call themselves Christians all day long, but they're not. Christian means Christ-like. You can't be Christ-like outside the Word for the season. Am I preaching the Word that he preached? I don't know one point that I'm missing on it. Cain had the right act in the wrong place, then he hated the one who had it right. Now notice, Abel had the right word. Then he loved his brother, for he did not even defend himself. But see, listen, it's the correct word and then love. Don't make love your criteria. It's not your love first. It's not your work first. It is being in the Spirit of God and having the Word for your day, making the revealed Word your criterion, and it starts with thus saith the Lord. As Paul said, there remaineth faith, which is revelation, hope, which is an earnest expectation, and love. He said the greatest of these is love. Why? Because love is an outward expression of the revelation. If you don't have the revelation to begin with, you don't have the love. And you don't have the earnest expectation. Now, you can see this picture. This is what the works of the devil are. Misinterpretation of the Word and serving God by creeds and dogmas. In vain do you worship me, having for doctrine the commandments of, not God, of men. See. The same thing that the serpent perpetrated upon Eve. Why, he said, Eve, it's all right. Didn't God tell you to multiply and replenish the earth? Why, she said, he certainly did. Then he said, well, let's get to it, baby. Isn't that what happened? And he absolutely misdivided the Word of God, yet attempting to say they are doing it according to God's Word. And then she said, oh, I've received a man child from a God. Oh, yeah. They all claim big things. They all claim they're doing what is right. But how can it be right if you're off the Word for the season? Now listen, Jesus and Paul were both killed because they worshiped God according to what people called heresy, but which was the revealed Word and the revealed will of Almighty God for the season. Now listen, let's go back to Hebrews 11 again, verse 4, that I quoted you. By revelation, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now watch both. Both men offered. Now listen, both men had faith in the revelation. That's right. You've got faith in yours, I've got faith in mine. Baptist got faith in his. Presbyterian in his. They've all got faith in their revelation, sure. But notice one was wrong and God manifested who was right. Now, back in Abel's day, I believe that God showed his divine approval by sending a pillar of fire to lick up the offering. And remember, in Elijah's day, he did the same thing. But what about today? How do we know today if we are lined up with the Word? Now, how are we going to find out? Now, the Word of God has to have the answer. 1 John 4, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they be of God or because many false prophets have come out. All right, verse 5. They are in the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Now listen, John says, we are of God. He that knoweth God listens to me. Did you ever hear such a big mouth in your life? Unabashed, unashamed. Unequivocal, stand up there and say what I just read, that John said, he that is of God heareth me, heareth us. He that knows God hears me. And he said, he that is not of God does not hear me. Then he says, and this is the way that you know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. He that is of God in this hour hears William Branham. Because God vindicated William Branham. Now, people just read that, and they don't even think about it. Like I told the ministers in Congo DRC, you read your Bibles like a book, and you don't get one thing from it. Read it one thought at a time because it's God's love letter to you. And if Brother Branham had stood up and said the very thing that John said, which was he was qualified to say, they would have run him out of town. I'm telling you the truth. That is the Word of God, but they don't want to know it. But brothers and sisters, we've got thus saith the Lord in the camp. We've dealt with God. We've seen Him face to face, as it were, through the revealed Word, God identifying Himself. Hereby we know. This is how we know what the Spirit is, whether we got the right one or the wrong one. Not these other things like your dreams and your visions, because they are not vindicated. But this spoken Word is vindicated. Now let's find out if somebody else did the same thing. Thank God he did. And it's the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians 14:36, he says, what? Came the Word of God out from you? Or came it unto you only? Where did this Word come from? Did you produce it? Or did I produce it? Now listen, if any man thinks himself to be a prophet, part of the fivefold ministry, or spiritual, got a Holy Ghost, let him acknowledge that the things that I write to you are the commandments of God. Do you got the Holy Ghost, huh? Are you part of the fivefold ministry? You, a fivefold minister, and you say, Paul or William Branham, I've got just as much right to talk as you got. What? Where did this Word come from? Where do you think you're producing anyway? Two men standing up in the first century, Peter himself saying, if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. You hear me talking, don't you? He says, then it's thus saith the Lord, what I'm saying. Three men said it. What more do you want? A whole multitude. I've got news for you. Prophets don't come in multitudes. No apology. There's only one for a season. And now listen, this identification has never, ever ceased in the church. Revelation 1:10, I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet. Now, you know the trumpet's a message, because except the trumpet make a certain sound, who shall prepare himself for battle? Now, notice, verse 12, and I turned to see the voice. How do you turn to see a voice? Huh? That's beautiful language. You know, you and I, we might think, I turned to see the speaker. But John does not. He turned to see the voice. So where is that voice? Where is that voice of Paul? Where is that voice of John? Where is that voice of Peter? Where is that voice of Jesus? Where is it? Never mind the man. I don't care if it comes in to get himself. Give me a John the Baptist eating locusts and wild honey with an old sheepskin around him. That's fine with me. Give me that Word. We're involved with life and death. I turn to see... the voice. When you see the voice, you see God. You don't see a vessel. And I turned to see. I turned to check that voice. And when I turned, I saw the bride, the seven golden candlesticks. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And remember, each candlestick was a messenger. And each age was identified with that messenger and his message. They were the elect of God for that age. And he saw one like unto the Son of Man. So I turned to see, and through the whole seven church ages, there were seven vessels, seven candles, and yet I didn't see the candle so much. I saw one like unto the Son of Man. I saw God. Which in the Greek may also be interpreted one who said the same thing as. The voice caught him. Now that one had in his hand seven stars, which were seven messengers. Revelation 2:1. Under the messenger of the church, which is in Ephesus, right? These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the bride for seven church ages, saying the same thing. But watch verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. But he's only talking to one man, the messenger. So therefore, if you want to hear from God, you're going to have to identify with the messenger who has a message, which is a revelation of Jesus Christ, because every time Jesus introduces himself to a messenger, he gives him a revelation of who he is, and then he gives them the historical data of that age so he can place it, because it's got to be for the season. What is the message of every age? It is Christ revealed for that season. Until at the end time, the Alpha and Omega comes into full view, and he gets us ready for the rapture. Brothers and sisters, that voice has been in every single age. And at the end time, we've had a most marvelous phenomenon, because at the end time, God, not willing, and making sure that there would be a people identified with the Word that would not die, he said he himself would come down and bring that voice. Revelation 10 1, and I saw another mighty messenger come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, a rainbow upon his head. His feet was as it were his face as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he came down with that little book open to earth in order to read it on earth. And at the same time, a prophet stood there in order to say, I challenge you. Show me one time he's ever been wrong. But they didn't want that. They couldn't stand another Paul. They couldn't stand another John. They couldn't stand another Peter. And they said, what is this man anyway? Oh, sure, because he's got a great ministry now, it's gone to his head. Oh, they all did the same thing and they all knew it. They said, this man is a fallacious individual too. No, he wasn't a liar, brothers and sisters. Because the Bible said, when that man came, who had thus saith the Lord, you hear him and you fear him, or you'll be cut off. Every age, as Brother Brown said in the Word, he was indicated. He was authenticated. He was vindicated. So what more do you want? Listen, this demonstration was so fantastic that this was the end time messenger that it says in Hebrews 6 concerning this age, for it is impossible for those who were once for all enlightened, now listen, what they had, and had tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers, that means companions, of the Holy Ghost, and they have tasted the good word of God, they will taste the powers of the world to come, and they will still fall away. And they will never be able to renew or to change back their mind again. And never once did the word ever come back to the mind, but as dogs to its vomit, and as a sow to its wallow, the ox to its destruction, and the fool to his own folly. As a bird that's struck by the arrow, they go to their death. Why? Because they don't believe that the spirit of truth and error is associated with men. And as men will indicate the spiritual error by their error, so the men of truth can only stand with the truth. All of these things are marvelous. And listen, enlightenment, partake of the Holy Ghost, taste the good word of God, the power of the world to come, all of those things, absolutely everyone manifests. Remember when Christ was here, that took place, and again at the end time, the end time messenger will be the same identical ministry standing on this earth, brings this into focus, and they turn it down. See? They turn it down because they don't know the Word of God. See? What a fantastic vindication, yet it's turned down. Going back to 2 Thessalonians for just a minute, notice what it says in verse 10 to 12. And with all deceivableness of unrightwiseness, so the unrightwiseness is deceivable, in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. No, they won't be saved. No. And for this cause, God, not the devil, God himself is going to send delusion. Oh, you see what it is? God will get the devil to do it. No. It says God himself is going to do it. How much personal honor is at stake at this end time with the end time messenger that God himself is going to see this to this. Not just leave it and run its course. God is going to do it. They're going to believe the lie. Why? That they might stand in the judgment and be condemned because they took pleasure in their own type and their own system of worship, calling upon God just like Cain did. So what was the unrighteous act? It was the worshiping God apart from a revelation, using the scripture apart from the word for the hour and saying, don't tell me we're not right. I can talk in tongues like anybody else. Don't tell me I haven't got it. I'm born again. I went to the altar. Don't tell me I don't know how to get saved. And this is what the Bible teaches. They took pleasure in their church system and creeds and dogmas. But we've been resurrected from the creeds and dogmas, and for the first time in 2,000 years, the Holy Ghost himself has liberated us and brought us the truth. Their lives are bound in their creeds and dogmas, to which at the end time they add a miracle ministry of Matthew 24:24. But as Brother Bram said, give them the word test. And like Cain, they cannot take the word, and they hate those who have it. So let me show you where we're at. Everything runs in a circle. The book of Revelation now coincides with the book of Genesis. Do you mind if we go back to Genesis 3:22 and read it once more? And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become one as one of us to know good and evil. Right now we're at the place to reach out the hand and take hold of eternal life. And God says, you're not going to do it because you do not know good and evil. You've turned down the truth. But there's a little group, said God, at this end time, that Brother Branham spoke of, that would know right from wrong, And he said, I'm watching them, and I'm watching, and I'm making a record of them, and they fear my name because they're the only persons who know the name. Nobody's afraid of Jesus, vindicated, but you and me, see? And the way they talk, nobody else talks like them. And they keep talking to each other. And he said, what I hear is causing me to write a record, and they're mine, and they're the only ones that are mine. And when I come to make up my jewels, they'll be with me because they have turned back to me, and they know righteousness from wickedness. They know how to worship. They know the truth. They know who serves God and who doesn't serve God, and they take a stand over it. They don't just accept anybody and everybody. They just don't say everybody talks about God and prays to God has got to be a Christian. They don't say everybody talks about being born again is born again. And they don't think just because a man's got a healing ministry, that makes him of God. He said, do you see my people? God said, they are my chosen, my elect, and they cannot be deceived. And I'm going to write a book of remembrance of them when I come to save them as a father spares his own son who serves him. So you won't be deceived, little children. You won't. But I'll tell you, if you're one of his, for all time, you have laid down every single thought you've had on any subject, and you're willing to line up your mind with everything the prophet said. And if he said something contrary, then you'll backtrack and you'll clean that tear out of your garden, which is in your mind, which contains that word of God. See, we're at the end time. They don't know righteousness from unrighteousness. They don't know truth from error. They don't know service from infamy. And they'll go on until they end up in the camp of Antichrist, thinking they're worshiping God through a church system of creeds and dogmas, and be absolutely right. They can say that what the things are happening today is of God because Jesus said, render to Caesar what Caesar's. They put themselves right in Caesar's camp. But he also said, see, he rightly divided. He also said, render to God what is God's. But you know the truth from Mary, says, righteousness from unrighteousness, because you have a vindicated word. Stay with that word, little children, and it will see you through. It will see you to the resurrection ministry, the catching away, the millennium, and the new Jerusalem, for it will see you to the final destination, for the word of God liveth and abideth, what? Forever. Brother Ram said, I don't call you church anymore. Saints, I call you bride. I think it's about time we took maybe even one more step, because I know that we could have taken it if he were here. We could have also said, jewels you are for the crowning day. Jewels of God, lively stones to reflect the light that has been shed at the end time. Here's where we stand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and right wiseness. On the fact that he had the divine revelation absolutely authenticated. Now let me say this. They might call us bigots, but let them deny that we have a right to say what we have. They'll hate that right in us one of these days, but we'll go right on just the same, because the truth cannot perish any more than God can. So right wiseness will not go down, but as in that time when Noah and Lot, they believed God's word, and that saved them. And that will save you and I. Just stay with the vindicated prophet. Let's bow our heads. Jesus, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, because we have your word. We have thus saith the Lord. We have the tapes. We have your spirit guiding us so that we can see what is on those tapes actually manifesting itself out here. We can see what's in your Bible, your scriptures, and we can see it performing itself out before us. So we've got the word for the season. And as we give you back our actions based on what we see manifesting, that is our sacrifice, showing that we do have the word for the season and the right dividing of the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you.